What's in it for me if I serve God? Well, I suppose the question is, am I serving God or am I serving the flesh? Galatians chapter 5, turning in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5, reading verse 16 through 18. But this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What's in it for me if I serve God? Well, it all depends on which nature you are feeding. There are some that believe in the eradication of the sin nature, which is an unbiblical doctrine. Others believe that a believer only has one nature. Then they try to use all types of nomenclature to explain away the sin nature, calling it the unredeemed portion. But actually, the Word of God does teach that we have two natures, a nature being a composite of attributes. The old man. And the removal of that old man is what's called the process of sanctification. Now, why is it so easy to feed the sin nature? Well, you'll see on the left side, under sin nature versus the new spiritual nature, with the sin nature, it's easier to feed it because it's already fully developed. By the time a person comes to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they have had many, many years of experience having fed the sin nature. No one has to tell you how to feed the sin nature. A little child is born with a sin nature. I know they're cute, and I recently saw in the newspaper a little child that was born at 23 weeks old. You saw it. And little feet, smaller than the nail on your thumb. Just amazing how small that little infant was. And yet perfectly formed, yet so teeny tiny. But even a beautiful little child has a sin nature. And it's easy to feed the sin nature. You don't have to work at it. The devil's going to see that you have an easy road to go. So, some Christians figure, well, I'm just going to get my fire insurance from hell by getting saved, and I'll just kind of coast the rest of the way. But it's easy to feed the sin nature. But you know, the new spiritual nature requires holiness, which is natural. It was natural to Adam when he was created in what theologians call untested creature holiness. But it was not natural to us because we were born with the fallen nature after Adam fell. But you know, the longer we yield ourselves to the will of the Lord, the easier and more natural it is for us to feed the new man. We have to develop the proper habits, the proper desires to feed the new man. And therefore, number one, it takes work. It takes diligence. It takes preparation, dedication. You're not going to feed the new nature by just coasting along. It takes getting up and studying the Word of God, taking time to pray, seeking to be led and filled by the Holy Spirit of God, yielding ourselves to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying no to the flesh. That develops the new spiritual nature as we seek to allow Christ to live His life through us. And of course, the key verse in the book of Galatians is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Literally, it's in the passive voice, and it carries the idea of having been crucified with Christ. The passive voice indicates that the subject is being acted upon. It's the power of Christ and His crucifixion that gives us the power of the Christian life. I am crucified. I have been crucified with Christ is the idea. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in other words, in the body, not in the sinful flesh concept of the flesh nature, but in the flesh body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's a matter of yielding ourselves to that one with whom we have been crucified with. Number two, if we choose as believers to live after the control of the sin nature and to feed the flesh, or what we call the old man, feeding the old man, what is it going to do? It's going to enslave and ensnare. The devil promises a lot, but he never pans out. He always requires more the next time. What we call the law of diminishing returns. Sin needs to be deeper and sin needs to go further. And the law of diminishing returns brings less and less satisfaction. And we're familiar with what the Bible teaches in the Scriptures when it talks about the subject of the flesh. For instance, in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice the decline of what we call the law of diminishing returns. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed. That's, by the way, in the present tense, carries the idea, if you could paraphrase it, the wrath of God is being revealed. It's a present anger that is being revealed from heaven against ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold, and that word hold there carries the idea of suppressing, holding down, almost suppressing the convicting work of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Man's trying to hold the lid down on God's truth. Man's trying to stop his ears. And we see today evidences of that, don't we? People trying to change our judicial system, reinterpret our Constitution from out of its Judeo-Christian ethics and moorings. And we're trying to deny the existence of God and remove the concept of God from our schools and even our homes and our court systems. And it says here, they hold down, literally, the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You see, there's an inward revelation of God. How? Well, you'll notice, it says here in verse 20, creation, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you see, the most basic of heathen men are without excuse. I preached on that Sunday night, and how that people need to be saved. That's the call for missions. If people were already saved because of their ignorance, Romans 1:20 never would have been written. What condemns men is the testimony of God within the heart and within creation itself. But notice, because verse 21 teaches, when they knew God, when did man know God? Well, in the Garden of Eden, he knew God, turned from God and walking in obedience. We know that from then on, sin continued into the world. Even after the flood, they glorified Him not as God. They weren't thankful, became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. So here you have sin. But notice how the sin continues to decline. And are we not seeing in our society, dear people, a decline in moral depravity in our nation? 15-20 years ago, you would not turn the news on and hear about the crimes against the elderly, the home invasions in the middle of the day, ruthless, horrible, pedophile crimes, mutilizations upon infants, the worst of Sodom and Gomorrah, or Canaanite culture, is being seen in our world today. Vain in their imaginations. But notice, there's further decline. It says because of their depravity, God gives them up to uncleanness through their lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. There's fornication, immorality. But then, verse 26, notice, the decline, the law of diminishing returns, is that sin, in order to satisfy, has to degrade itself lower and lower and lower. And that is what we're seeing today on the internet. We're seeing it today in pornography and the horrible, horrible decline. Look at verse 26. God gave them up to vile affections. Lesbianism, verse 26. Homosexuality, verse 27. It says women exchange the natural use of that which is against nature. By the way, people today would say that's a hate crime. No, that's God's word that transcends culture or human opinions. Men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one towards another. And then in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. Now, is God responsible for that? You know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart only after Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And the hardening was a judgment because he had committed the unpardonable sin of confirmation and unbelief. And there comes a time when the Spirit of God will no longer strive with man. Oh, I pray that our culture has not arrived at that area. But feeding the sin nature enslaves and ensnares and requires more next time to get the same thrill. That's true with drugs, isn't it? It's true with illicit sex. It's true with all of the narcotics and alcohol that we're seeing. And you know, every alcoholic began with the first drink. And you know, Satan's not satisfied to have you be a social drinker. Satan would like to have his way and make you a drunk. So why take the first drink and open up to the wiles of the devil? The Bible tells us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why, unapologetically, this pulpit takes a stand against alcohol use and social drinking. Because we see the snares of the devil and how he opens up the door to establish a wedge. And when the church is reaching into a world that is overcome by vice and alcohol, we as God's people take a choice that we will not be a stumbling block to weaker brethren that will come into the church who will have had backgrounds of alcohol addiction and other areas. And we are to be our brother's keeper. And we are to model and adorn the doctrine of God. Now, the spiritual nature. You follow and feed the spiritual nature. Notice, that satisfies. It meets your greatest of needs. That's why the Word of God says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The sin nature. You know, 75% of the joy of the old man comes in the form of anticipation. There was the old song, after you get what you want, you find out you never really wanted it at all. The joy of the world is short-lived. That's why Hebrews 11:25 talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasant part leads to an enormous emptiness of the soul. But feed the new nature, That's followed by the deepest and lasting joy that you can ever experience. That's why the psalmist, if you'll turn to the book of Psalm, said the following statements. Read with me Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yes, the Christian life involves discipline. Yes, the Christian life is going to experience tears because of burdens that we'll have for lost people. But you know, the great part about it is that it also involves the greatest of joys, a reaping in joy. And the wonderful part about it is that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and experience that satisfaction. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Yes, there was a suffering involved in Christ's redemptive process, but suffering is always intended to produce joy. Now I ask you tonight, what trial are you going through? Did you know that properly responded to, seeking God's face and searching the Scriptures, the greatest of trials can become a didactic or an instructive experience that will bring you into a great experience of deep-seated joy, lasting joy, not emptiness of the soul, but fullness and satisfaction. And you can look at the end of your life when you're breathing your last, like Mrs. Maness testified as she imparted the blessing to over 40 grandchildren, we were told, over a three-day span. Reminds me of Gary Smalley's book, The Blessing, and how that he insists that we as parents ought to impart a blessing to our children that would touch generations in the future, and how that it's a biblical concept to do so. We saw Jacob and Joseph and Isaac and others impart a blessing to their descendants, and how we ought to do that as well. Well, there can be a blessing in following the things of the Lord and leave that joy in their lives. And we can breathe our last with satisfaction that we have raised righteous seed and that they're going on for the Lord. Number four, if we feed the sin nature, it's going to destroy hunger for that which is good. You're not going to want to read your Bible anymore. As a matter of fact, there's going to be negligence of your Bible reading. You feed the sin nature, you're not going to want to pray. You're not going to want to go to church. And the further away you get from the Word of God, the easier it is to sin. Just like a sick person, you consider the analogy of someone who is sick. My dad, the latter weeks of his life, did not want to eat and really couldn't eat. And he was weak because of it, lost all appetite for food. But you know, a sick person can't eat good food. You don't take a sick person. When's the last time you were sick to your stomach and you said, honey, let's go to the Golden Corral and let's just load up? You don't feel like doing that, do you? Not at all. But a healthy appetite, like some of you have here, I know you're real healthy. And I have a bon appetit. It brings me joy when I take my kids over to the Olive Garden or a restaurant and I see them around the table and they're eating with a healthy vigor. I know that they're feeling well and they're doing well. But just like a sick person who doesn't like to eat, or how many times have you been sick and the old snoz doesn't work like it should and nothing tastes right? You're walking around talking like that and nobody, you know, and you go to eat your favorite lasagna or fried chicken. I'm sorry, some of you have not eaten supper yet tonight. Sacrifice for the Lord to get here. Tony's just waiting for that greasy roll-down-the-elbow hamburger that he's going to get at the junk food station. I'm not kidding. But the truth of the matter is, when you can't breathe, you're sick and all congested, food doesn't taste good. And it's that way spiritually. Just because it may not taste good to you, Just because you may think that you're not getting anything out of it, keep on being in the Word of God. What I like to do is read the Word until God does speak to me. Just keep on reading the Word. Lord, you stop me, and I'm going to keep on reading until you give me a verse that I can lay hold on, a promise that I can keep. Feed, not the sin nature, but the spiritual nature. Number four, feeding the spiritual nature creates a desire for that which is good. Not evil, but that which is good. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why feed the sin nature, the old man? It can't satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Feed the spiritual nature. Number five, if we're going to feed the physical nature, the sin nature, it's going to cause us to crave that which God hates. 1 John 2:15 describes to us the love that God hates. Yes, the love that God hates. Love not the world, the cosmos, the world system, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Here we have the Bermuda Triangle of sin, I call. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Verse 17, notice where the world's going to go. Why should we love it? It's going to pass away. The lust of it. But you want to have a part in eternity? Be rewarded for eternity? Do the will of the Lord, the will of God. That's going to abide forever. But you know, feeding the sin nature causes one to crave that which God hates. You know, it's interesting how that when individuals feed the sin nature, many people today fall into things like pornography in order to solve the so-called marital boredom. And they feed sinful patterns that were actually set far before marriage. Pornography will feed that sin nature, causing one to crave that which God hates, and it leads to further sin. Number five, feeding the spiritual nature causes us not to crave that which God hates, but to crave the things of God. Look at the following verses in Psalm that picture craving after the things of God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That speaks of craving the things of God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Then chapter 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Is that true of you? Do you rise up early in the morning seeking God? My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. That characterizes our society where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Chapter 84, verses 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Why do people absent themselves from the house of God? Why is it that they don't love to hear the preaching of God's Word? Why is it that they don't love being with God's people? Why is it that they seek to run from the things of God? Because they're feeding the sin nature, number five, rather than the spiritual nature. And finally, number six, feeding the sin nature leads to disaster and even death. Premature death in the life of the believer, and certainly a person that does not come to the Lord experiences greater proportion and implications, the second death. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. But notice number six, following the spiritual nature, feeding the spiritual nature brings life and peace. It says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does it pay to serve the Lord? I believe it does. But we should serve the Lord even if there's nothing in it for us. We should serve Him simply to bring Him glory and honor. And even as we pray before His throne of grace today, we are hungering and thirsting to commune and fellowship with Him and to bring Him glory and honor and present our needs before the Lord. Let's go to the throne of grace and pray now. Father, I pray for each and every one listening to this message. May we, Father, live our lives on the column of that spiritual nature in which we seek to feed upon the Word of God, to seek the counsel not of the world's crowd, but the counsel of God's Word, to seek not human, empty philosophy and psychology, but to seek the eternal Word of God that lives and abides forever. Lord, may we never build our heart homes on the shifting sands of men's opinions, but upon the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And Father, we know that in so doing, our lives will be characterized by peace and direction and joy and fullness of joy forevermore. Bless us now, Lord, as we prepare to go to prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.